So again, this morning you're stuck with me. Yes. So this pastor just told me to carry on the theme of God has a plan for you. And sometimes it's like pastor would tell me to teach at the end of all his teaching. So I'm like, you've done everything. What else can I say? But I thank God because I don't want to stand here and tell you things from my intellect. I want it to be what Holy Spirit wants you to hear. And I thank God because during the week, God was just bringing things to me regarding God has a plan for us. Yeah. So this morning, you know, under that topic, God has a plan for us. God has a plan for you. One of the things that came to me is that we should rest in God's plan. Yeah? We should rest in God's plan. And, you know, when we hear that scripture, God has a plan for you, God has a plan for you, it sounds like a distant thing, but it's not a distant thing. When we say God has a plan for you, you're actually in that plan already. And why do I say that? Because there's a scripture in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. You can turn there with me or I can read it for us. That's okay. So Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." So actually, we know that even before you became a baby in your parents' hands, before you were now, God knew us. So when pastor keeps saying that God has a plan for us, it's not a distant thing. You are actually already in God's plan. So as Christian, every Christian is already, you are going through God's plan. And we need to have this perspective when we hear that topic, God has a plan for you, that I'm already within God's plan. And, you know, when he was teaching us, he was talking about Joseph and all the challenges that Joseph went through. And the first thing that I want us to look at is when we understand that we're resting in God's plan, we need to know that sometimes when you're resting in God's plan, you face challenges. So one of the stories that Pastor's been talking about is the story of Joseph. And I'm not going to bore us because he's treated it extensively. But when Joseph was going through his challenges, can we say that he was in God's plan? You are allowed to speak. Everybody, maybe it's the weather. Can we, when Joseph was going through his challenges, can we say he was in God's plan? Because as humans, we tend to think, I'm in God's plan when things are going well. But let me tell you, ups and down, you're in God's plan. It's just the devil trying to make us feel God has abandoned me when we're going through challenges. And I'd like us to read a portion of the scripture of Joseph. I'll go there in a minute. Okay. If we go to, I had it open already. Go to Genesis chapter 45. And okay, I'm going to start from Genesis chapter 45. I'm going to start from verse 4. So we know everything Joseph went through. You know, he went through challenges. He was sold into slavery. He was lied on by Potiphar's wife. He went into prison. And then this chapter is when he actually met his family. So we read Genesis chapter 45, verse 4. "Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'Come close to me.' When they had done so, he said, 'I am your brother, Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh and lord of his entire household and ruler of Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph said: God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and don't delay. Amen. So there's another story I want to also go to. But one of the things I want us to know this morning is that you are already in God's plan. And I want us to read another scripture, Romans 8, verse 28. It's a very popular scripture. I'll read it for us here. Romans 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that all things, and we know that in all things, God works for good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose." That's one of my favorite scriptures. And the reason why I went to that scripture next is when you look at Joseph, right? And he had that dream that he was going to be some sort of great man. And his brothers were bowing down to him. The next thing after that dream, he got sold. He then finds himself in Pharaoh's house. And you know, we read the story of when Pharaoh's wife tries to seduce him. But I can assure you, when I read the Bible, I like to try and play out the film in my head. I'm sure there are many times she would have dressed seductively. That wasn't the first time. That must have been a build-up. It must have been so hard for him. She must have made several attempts. And then he was lied on. And then he went into prison. So imagine when he was staying in Pharaoh's house, what kind of food would he have eaten? Have you ever wondered, the queen is Charles now, bless him. Have you ever wondered what kind of meals they eat? Anyone wondered? I'm sure they don't eat Greggs. I'm sure every morning, I don't know, some proper first class full breakfast sausage has just come straight from the butcher. I'm sure that lunch, you know, I don't want to make us hungry, but imagine he had, because he'd been living in Pharaoh's house, he had tasted that kind of life. And then he went from there to prison. How many times, you know, in our lives, things are going rosy, and then we go from 100 to zero. And at that point, how do we feel? As humans, you can be honest with God. Sometimes we feel that, oh, God has abandoned me. But you know, even when he went to prison, I'm sure he still knew, I am still in God's plan. And what I'm trying to say, if he didn't go to prison, is it the bakers or the different people who were in prison, they would not have discovered his gift and told the Pharaoh that actually, there's a man we met in prison who could interpret your dreams. Where am I going to? I'm going to that scripture, Romans 8, 28. Actually, God is such a perfect designer. Every single thing that has happened in your life is ordained by God. I know the challenges seem like, these challenges, I'm not feeling it. But trust me, it's part of God's story. And at the end of the day, we know that Pharaoh got his answer from Joseph. And Joseph became like a very high person in the country of Egypt. And you know what as well? If Pharaoh didn't have that dream, and if Daniel didn't interpret it, what would have happened to Daniel and his brothers? Because it said then that all the nations was coming to Egypt because there was famine. So if Joseph wasn't sold, then maybe him and his family would have perished in that famine. And maybe Egypt would have perished because it was God gave him that wisdom that they should save up. So let me tell you, everything works together for your good. And there was something I was thinking about as well during the week. Now, one of the things sometimes as human beings we do is normal, is when we are looking at God's plans for our lives, we determine it because what do? We compare our lives with others. But everyone has their own journey. And another story I want us to read is the book of Esther. So we can turn to Esther chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. Esther chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. A lot of us know about the story of Esther. We know that she was an orphan. Just want to read very quickly. It says, "Now there was in the citadel of Susa a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin named Mordecai, son of Jair, the son of Shemer, the son of Kish, who had been carried into exile from Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Among those taken captive with Joachim, king of Judah, Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah, whom he had brought up because she had neither father nor mother. This young woman, who was also known as Esther, had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter, and when the king's order and edict had been proclaimed, many young women were brought into the citadel of Susa and put under the care of Haggai. Esther was also taken to the king's palace and entrusted to Haggai, who had charge of harem." I'm just going to stop there. I want us to consider the other part of Esther. So the last thing I was talking about is sometimes when we look at God's plans for our lives, we measure if God is really in our lives by comparing our lives with others. I want us to think about Esther. She was an orphan. Her mother and father died. Growing up, how might she have felt? God, why me? Maybe as she was growing up, maybe her other counterparts, they were off getting married, everybody was progressing, and she was here, me, orphan. But you know what? She had a very good uncle or cousin who she listened to, and he advised her, and we know what happened to Esther. She became the queen. So what I'm just trying to tell us is, sometimes in life, your starting point may seem a little bit, but God is actually writing your story. And when I like to come up, I like to give examples that what we read in the Bible is actually happening. And excuse me, Pastor, I hope you don't mind me using you as an example. Okay. So, you know, Pastor, even though he seems British, but he weren't born in Bristol. He came from somewhere in West Africa, okay? And he was actually an accountant. And his wife, blessed memory, Mummy Deaconess, she was a lawyer. And funny enough, I think he told me this, we had this conversation recently. And, you know, they were comfortable and everything, right? And he thought, oh, when I come to the UK, it's going to be easy. The first CV I ping, man, I'm going to get the top accountant job in Ernst & Young, you know, probably Mummy Deaconess. I'm going to get, you know, be a lawyer in the top firm. But you know what? When they landed over, it wasn't quite like that. And, you know, I believe he said he was a student, you know, so he would study. And also work as well. And can you imagine as well, his wife like thinking, why has this guy put me in this situation? I'm sure she didn't say that. But you know, I remember one time they told me that it was so bad that someone had to post them £5. Can you imagine? Post £5 just so that they could eat something, you know? And also as well, when they used to go to church, can you imagine coming to church, but you don't know how you're going to get home? And the pastor, I don't know if your dad's told you the story, the pastor will have to go and get money for their transport to get back home. Yeah? I also have another example of another brother, I'm not going to say, when he came over as well. And for a few months, he slept in the kitchen. But you know what? All those situations they went through, did it look like God has a plan for them? No. But let me tell you, they were in God's plan. Because if Pastor didn't come to the UK, he probably came thinking, pursuing his career and everything. But he didn't know that God was calling him to Bristol to be a pastor. He probably didn't know, but what I'm saying, God has got a sense of humor. And even though he's not an accountant today, but you know, the management, the accountancy, if anyone knows Pastor, you know that he's very detailed. He didn't know that that accountancy career is not to waste. God is using it to manage the church. You understand? So what am I trying to say? That in your life, Romans 8:28, he works everything together for your good. It may seem like it's not God's plan, but let me tell you, it is. You are in God's plan right now. You are in God's plan. And I want us to turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. You know, every Christian, as we read in Jeremiah 1:5, it said, even before you were born, God has a plan for you. So the minute you start living, you are in God's plan. But sometimes where we go wrong, and we're only humans, is we don't include him all the time because maybe the timing is too long. So we try and help God. But this scripture reminds us in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It says, in all your ways, I'm paraphrasing because I don't want to waste our time. Is it on the board? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. This scripture, without wasting our time, says that, okay, I'll put it in here. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. And I wrote here, God's path is straight. Now, the thing is, sometimes when we're in God's plan, one of the things we do, because we're human beings, just like Abraham's wife, we try and help God. But God is merciful, because even though we help him, he always brings us back. So I just want to give you another story. I use myself. I don't want to use the other one. So when I finished university, it was very, very hard for me to get the job I wanted. But God, you know, he blessed me for a job, but it wasn't the job I wanted. So I went for a course online. And what this course does, it teaches you the theory, but also gives you the practical, like, experience. So when I finished the course online, I then applied for a job. And many of the people that were on this course that I was on, they were giving me, shall I say, was it good or bad counsel? So obviously I'd been on that course because I'd been on that course whilst I was pregnant and during maternity. So I think I'd been on that course for over a year. And a lot of people said, oh, because my name is Josephine as well, Josephine, you know that CV you said 1 year, just add a few, you know, add 2 years to it so that it's like 3 years. You're not going to get the job. They were just basically asking me to lie on my CV and lie about things. And I'm not going to lie. Obviously, I was tempted. I'm a human being. But you know what? In the end, I didn't listen to their voice. And what actually happened is I was working and I was doing that course in the evening. So my CV was very confused because my CV showed that I was working in a job, but then I also had this experience and it's like I was working at the same time. So if you looked at my CV, it would be like, were you doing two jobs at the same time? What's really going on here? And I applied. And when they asked me the question, I just told the truth. I said, well, this was my main job, but I was working this job in the evenings part-time. And you know, many of my colleagues that lied, they got the job, but you know what they'll be doing at work? They'll be going in the toilet to Google the answers, to phone people, because they don't have the experience. They lied on their CV. And they were feeling the hint, and a lot of them were getting sacked or they resigned. But because I just followed God's way, I was good, I was honest, and I learned on the job. So what am I trying to say is that in all our ways, we should acknowledge God. We shouldn't try and help him. There was another, I don't know whether it's appropriate, I don't want to use this example anyway, but sometimes there's lots of pressure. When we're living through God's plan, there's lots of pressure to help God, to hurry him. But you know what, in the end, it's just like that the prodigal son, we end up going back to God, and God is a loving father, and he forgives us, but we just, like the Israelites, went on a long journey. So God is saying this morning, as you're living in his plan, acknowledge him in all your ways. Do your bit, but trust him. Trust him. I'm telling you. I can go on and on and on. Trust him. The next thing I want to talk about is, whilst we're in God's plan, God builds our character. Because it's very easy for God to just make your plan smooth. But why does God sometimes allow those challenges? And then a scripture I remember came to me in Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5. Romans chapter 3, verse 3 to 5. This scripture says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Amen. Amen. This is not, oh, God is going to bless you. This scripture is about suffering. I know. But what that says is, you know, in the plan that God has for you, part of that plan is to build you. It's to build you as Sister Tishé. It's to build you as Brother Mark. It's to build all of us here. It's to build, because that plan that God has for you, you need a certain character as well to carry it through. And so I want us to remember that God uses your challenges to build up your character. The other thing that I also wanted us to talk about is, when we talk about God's plans for our lives, and this is, for me as an individual, this is really hard for me to grasp, is God's plans for your life involves people. God's plans for your life involves people. There's a scripture that says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches the city, those who watch it in vain. And you know, whenever we look at that scripture, we always think, yes, that means that we need to acknowledge God in our plans. But for me, when I look at whenever that scripture, if God building the house, how is he building the house? We've talked about character. But God, I noticed something, that God uses people. And the reason why I said I'm skeptical, because I'm a very boring person. Sometimes I do try and be a hermit. A hermit is like a creature that wants to stay by themselves. I don't want much friends. I don't want this. But you know what? God uses people. If we look at Joseph's life, God actually used those people in prison to bring him to the attention of Pharaoh. If we look at Esther, God used her, shall I call him uncle or cousin, in her life. God used him. And you know, another scripture I want us to read is Joshua chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. In God's plan for your life, God uses people. I didn't put this one down. So Joshua chapter 2, I'll go there very quickly. Joshua chapter 2. And this is the story about Joshua when they're trying to take the city of Jericho. And they come into contact with a woman called Rahab. Joshua chapter 2, I'll read from verse 1. It says, then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, The men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went after them. Quickly, you may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of the flax she had laid out on the roof. Why did I choose that story? I chose that story because Joshua won a mighty victory of taking over that land, but he couldn't have done it without Rahab, could he? When I look at Jesus, even though Jesus is God the Father in flesh, he's mighty. But why did Jesus call the disciples? Why did Jesus call the women? If we look at a lot of the scriptures we read, Paul, Timothy, in your plan, God uses people. And I just felt like sometimes when we are in God's plan, we need to recognize who is our Rahab, you know, who is our Peter? Because a preacher was preaching recently, and I kind of agree with her, that a lot of times when we measure is God's hand upon our life, we measure it by how huge is my account statement? What car do I have outside? Where am I in my career? But let me tell you something. I know my husband doesn't mind this. When my husband came to CFT Bristol Church, he was in an okay job. I think he was working in like finance, but it isn't what he wanted to do. He wanted to do like testing. There's something called testing in IT. And you know what? Pastor Benson was able to play a role there, set him up, trained him, and things like that. And you know, he, you know, with passion and everything, he's now working in testing. But let me tell you, sometimes it's not money that you need. It is people that you need. Do you understand? Sometimes it is people that God sends to your life. When we look at Jesus, I don't even know if Jesus ever worried about how much money he had or anything, because he had disciples around him. People who, Jesus, are you hungry? I don't even know. They didn't even talk about if Jesus, I don't even think Jesus worried about changing his clothes. He had people around him. Do you understand what I mean? And people are powerful. And let me tell you why. When the queen died, and when we had a change of government, because those people were not popular, what happened to the markets? They shook. There's something about people. It's not, we can have a very affluent country, we have a tax system, but there's something about who is that leader that is in place. There's something about people. So in your, as you're living through your plan, you're in God's plan, be open to the people that God has sent your way. They might be there for a season, they might be there for years, but that's one thing that came to me when I was looking at this. And may God help us to discern who those people are in our lives, in Jesus' name, amen. And to be honest, that's all I had for us today, this morning. I hope it's blessed us. And just in summary, what have we looked at today? When we say that God has a plan for you, it's not something that is about to happen. It's already happened. Jeremiah chapter 1, you are already in God's plan. Number 2, we are in God's plan even though we're going through challenges. And God actually, he makes everything work together for your good as a Christian. And we looked at Romans 8, 28. And also, we also looked at when you're in God's plan, it's not worth trying to do it on our own. We should always acknowledge God. And we read Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 that said we should acknowledge God in all our ways. We also talked about when you're in God's plan, those challenges you're going through is actually building the character that you need to wherever God has planned for you. And lastly, knowing that in God's plan, God involves people. And we need to recognize who those people that God has sent to us. Amen, in Jesus' name. Can we just rise this morning and just, with the word of God that God has shared with us this morning, help us, let us just go before God's presence and say, let's use that scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. and acknowledge God, and He will make your path straight. Let's just begin to present our hearts to God. And it's the end of the year. We have so many plans to say, God, you know, I might have been fearful. I might not have understood when I was going through challenges that your hand was upon me. But God, this morning, I'm going to trust you. Father, Lord, I bring all my plans before you this morning. I understand that I'm a child of God. And actually, I am in the will of God. I am in the plan of God. Every plan of hell to make us fearful, to make us anxious, to make us depressed. Father, we thank you, Lord, because we acknowledge this morning that we are actually in your plan. And everything is working together for our good. Everything is working together for our good. La braka shantele bradege. So we leave here this morning knowing that I am in God's plan. We leave here this morning knowing that we are in God's plan. We bless your name this morning for your word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. We may be seated.